Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, June the 19th, 2020, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And if you please could somebody mute, because I'm hearing a lot of background noise, that'd be great. Thanks so much. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 11, page 163 in A Vision for You. Starting with the third paragraph, beginning with our friend proceeded, and we will read this one paragraph ending with flows through that institution. We will be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Lorraine N. for the 12 steps, Pam M. for the 12 traditions, excuse me, and readers of the text are Julie E. B., Penny L. C., and Jordan L. Our newcomer greeter today might be calling in. If not, Janice PM is going to be double dipping and be our newcomer greeter as well as our announcer. Thank you all for your service. And of course, Lynn S. is recording us. Our share ID for yesterday, Thursday, June 18th, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,833. That's 14833. And the share ID for this morning, Friday, June 19th, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,837. That's 14837. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Lorraine N. to read our 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning from the great state of Oregon. I'm so happy to be on the line this morning. This is Lorraine N. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me do service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. And Pam M. is going to read our 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Pam.
Blessed morning, everyone. Pam M. in upstate New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 10, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
And thank you for your service this morning, Pam M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read, and we are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that does include your personal mute button on your phone. Please don't use that. And just use star 1 to mute and unmute. That way we have a nice quiet meeting, and we appreciate your cooperation. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 163 in the third paragraph. We're in a vision for you, and it starts with, our friend proceeded to tell him. We're going to read through that one paragraph only, ending in flows through that institution. And now Julie E.B. is going to start reading. Good morning, Julie. Star 1 to unmute, please, Julie E.B.
Hello, I'm here for you. I'm sorry about that. Okay, good morning. Where'd you go, reading? Where'd you go? Just to say, I'm Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Okay, so our friend proceeded to tell him, and with such a good effect that the doctor agreed to a test among his patients and certain other alcoholics from a clinic which he attends. Arrangements were also made with the chief psychiatrist of a large public hospital. To select still others from the stream of misery which flows through that institution. Well, speaking as someone who works in a hospital, I can tell you that there is a stream of misery from our disease that flows through this hospital day in and day out. And I am very blessed to be able to share with some of them my story. I know that my doctor continues to ask me about OA as I go through my annual appointments year after year. She knows, some of you are new on the line, you don't know, I was over 300 pounds, I was bed bound, I had 6 medical specialists, and I was so close to death, and stroke, anything could have taken me out. And so now my doctor sees me once a year, and she'll tell me about her latest diet or exercise program, or you know, but it's a stream of misery, because the harder we try, the harder we push everything that we're used to relying on. For me, I don't know why I'm saying we, but the harder I push, everything that I'm used to relying on is just efforts itself will. Today, my life is all about falling in to God's mercy. I get a lot of questions at different times. You know, this has a great word in it, to test among the patients. You know, so I ask each of us today, what are we willing to try today? What are we willing to test? How much are we willing to admit that some of the things we're doing, whether we're still recovering or recovered or can't seem to put the food down, I mean, really, what do we have to lose? What are we willing to try to have not only peace with our food and a quiet food, the food to become quiet, to not have the cravings, but what are we willing to try to live life on life's terms, to rely on God absolutely? What if my higher power really is everything? Not only that, but my higher power wants to care for me. That's the provision of everything I need for my health, welfare, and spiritual condition, and for each day. I have to tell you, I used to go to doctors, and I used to look to them for the answers. I was desperate. I cried outside of doctor's offices. I begged. I pleaded. I looked for the relief of a doctor's visit. Maybe this time there would be something that could change the pain that I was in physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychiatrist, every type of doctor. But for me, the solution was to work with one other person in this book and to work through the steps and to live in the steps every day. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Julie B., for getting us started. So just reminding everybody, we're on page 163. We're in the third paragraph. Our friend proceeded to tell him, just reading that one paragraph only, ending in flows through the institution. And just want a little reminder that although we do value your experience, that you limit your share to about every third day in order others might share their experience too, and we thank you for your cooperation. Who would like to share this morning?
Heather W.
Penny L. C.
Mary B.
Marilyn K.
Stephanie P.
I'm sorry. I got Heather W., Penny L. C. There was a Mary.
Mary B.
That's Mary.
Yes, Stephanie P.
Okay, I heard Stephanie. Did I hear a Kathy?
Marilyn K.
Marilyn K. Okay, gotcha. And Stephanie, what's the first initial or your last name, please?
P.
P as in Peter?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so I have Heather W., Penny L. C., Mary B., Stephanie P., and Marilyn K. Good morning, Heather, and you'll be followed by Penny L.C. Star one to unmute, Heather.
Hey, y'all. Good morning. This is Heather W., recovered here in Baltimore. Thank you, everyone, for your service. And, wow, what a paragraph. And, you know, I don't know a ton about the history here, if this was Dr. Silkworth or what hospital it was. I love listening to Vision because I've learned so much of this history on here. But what I am familiar with is that stream of misery. And, you know, there's, in our 11th step, this idea of a stream comes up too, the stream of life. You know, so I see I'm given a choice. Do I want to be in the stream of misery or do I want to be in that stream of life? And the stream of misery, well, that was for me, you know, nightly binges, laying in bed, eating over 1,000 calories at a time, hating myself, saying I'll never do it again, waking up and doing it again. And then even still in OA, stream of misery, I'm still stealing food from people, but I'm going to OA meetings. You know, I'm still fighting with the food regularly, but I'm sharing in OA thinking I'm abstinent. You know, so I still have the stream of misery there. And now, so what is the stream of life? You know, it's being recovered. It's having those 10-step promises, having neutrality with the food, not fighting it, I'm not afraid of it. You know, I'm neutral. I can be around it. I can go to a party, right, or sit around a table full of people drinking and eating things that I don't, and I don't feel like I'm missing out, left out. I don't feel resentful. You know, I can even, you know, if I have a reason, cook it. My husband might want it, whatever, but it's not for me. You know, I have no desire or call for it, you know. And the stream of life is having relationships, solid relationships with people. You know, not getting thrown into resentments that last months or years, you know, being able to process my feelings, being able to get out of fear. And of course, these things come up, but they don't have to take me to that stream of misery. You know, I have 10 steps I can do. I have an 11-step practice. I have a relationship with my higher power, you know, God. So I'm just so grateful because, you know, I don't have to live in the stream of misery anymore. And in that stream of misery, I always thought, you know, I kept going to food like it would get me out of that. You know, and the food only got me deeper into it. This program, going through the book, having a recovered person walk me through it, like was shared earlier, is what was able to get me into that stream of life. So I'm so grateful for that, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather W. Penny L.C., you're up, followed by Mary B. Good morning, Penny L.C.
Good morning, Sherry K.B. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I just appreciate that, you know, our friend is willing to go to such lengths, you know, to do what he can to find others
okay.
to share this solution. I believe somebody might be unmuted.
I'm going to share in about
Hello?
5 minutes.
Sorry for the interruption. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kind of pause your time. Could please everybody check your *1 button to mute. We'd like to have a clear meeting this morning. Thank you so much for your service. Penny, go ahead. I froze your time. Go ahead, please. Thank
no
you.
No problem.
Sorry
Thanks very much. It's okay. Just willing to go and seek out others, knowing that that is the way that I'm able to keep my recovery when I pass it on, and I've got to have others to pass it on to. Fortunately, in this day and age, we have so much of a wonderful stream of communication that there are ongoing newcomers that are available to share with. But this person was willing to go to any length to maintain the recovery. And I believe that that's what's going to keep me, them, and anyone else who chooses to out of the stream of misery, being willing to go to that length to pass on the gift of this message. I used to live in that stream of misery also. And today I'm blessed with a freedom and a neutrality around the food that I only dreamed about in the past. And what was the difference? The difference was coming to realize that I couldn't do it on my own, that a higher power could, but I had to be willing to let that higher power in. I had to be willing to connect with that higher power and seek that higher power's will for me and let go of my will. And therein lies the answer to that stream of misery. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny L.C. And Mary B., you're up, followed by Stephanie P. Good morning, Mary B.
Good morning, Sherry K.B. Thanks for hearing my hearing me call. Mary B., grateful. Internally grateful, recovered compulsive overeater here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. This, from what I understand, what I've learned, is just another one of those stories that Bill used to our advantage. I believe Bill was a storyteller. I believe we are our storytellers, and that's how we pass this thing on. Who knew that when I was living my story, when I was in that stream of misery that's just been mentioned this morning over and over, and it's so true. And I can't even go into all the drama about the stream of misery. Who knew that God, my higher power, was going to take that stream of misery to help people like you and me to get saved, to get delivered, to get recovered from this disease that's out to kill us every single day. I'm a 34-year chronic relapser. I've got 3 years and 19 days of abstinence right now, and a heart just busting with gratitude and love for the members on this line, for A Vision for You and OA, that it saved me from the stream of misery that I lived till I was 65 years old, and I don't have to live that way anymore. Thank you. And I just want to say welcome to the newcomer. I appreciate everybody on this line that gives service, that shares, calls out to the newcomer. Whatever you do, even if it's just you stay abstinent today, continue to recover. Thanks for letting me share, Sherry. Bye now.
Mary B. Stephanie P., you're up, followed by Marilyn K. Good morning, Stephanie. Star 1 to unmute, please. Stephanie P. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go to Marilyn K. And
oh, good morning. Hi.
Are you there, Stephanie?
I am here.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Stephanie P. Hi. Good morning. I'm Stephanie P., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. I absolutely love this paragraph, and it just reminds me of when, you know, I was just looking for doctors and treatment for answers and something to fix me. My psychiatrist was even in OA and guided me to OA. And I realized that no human power can fix me. I have to be ready to work this program, and I can't fix me either, especially through self-will and my own ideas. It just doesn't work. It was going to OA that was going to strengthen my relationship with God and lead me to the solution. And change through action and relying on God and not a human power anymore. And wow, I love that sentence, the stream of misery. I was a chronic relapser until I was truly willing, ready, and open. And I need to stay in 10, 11, and 12 if I'm going to stay in the stream of freedom, which is completely opposite of the stream of misery. And thank God for that. Because I'm in neutrality with the food, and that's a spiritual awakening to me. I'm awake, not just because of being abstinent, even though that's the first step. It's because this spiritual program that allows me to be free, and then it protects me from going back to the food and also carrying this message of hope. And I am just so grateful to be abstinent today, to have a clear mind, to feel sane. And no matter what comes my way in life, I have a program. And I can, you know, get relief from working 10, 11, and 12, and most of all, freedom on a daily basis, so I don't have to go back to the food. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I'm grateful for all of you being here so that I have a chance and that I have a chance to help other people. And thank you for your service. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Stephanie P. And before we hear from Marilyn K., I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're in Chapter 11 of Vision for You. We're on page 163, the third paragraph. Our friend proceeded to tell him, ends with, flows through that institution. We're reading that one paragraph, and I'll take more names after Marilyn K. shares. Good morning, Marilyn. Star 1 to unmute, please. Marilyn K.
Hello, this is Marilyn K. from Beaverton, Oregon, and I listened to A Vision for You as I'm in the process of helping my husband. I'm a care partner, and I sometimes listen to part of it, and sometimes I listen to all of it. But today I decided I was going to have all of it, and I got on my knees and said, God, help me. Thank all the people who helped me and from all your wonderful shares. I've been abstinent for 7 years by the grace of God, and I know that God's the one that took the compulsion away from me, and each day if I get on my knees, God continues to take it away from me, and the compulsion would drive me just bananas thinking about food all the time, and I'm very grateful. I am also not very grateful to the fact that I have a son who's 46 who is in the hospital, and that stream of misery is there because I know one of the factors that brought him to the hospital was the disease of compulsive eating. And it's almost like he wouldn't listen to me, and I have to also realize that I have to put him in God's hands and let God's will be done. And as my sponsor tells me, just he has his own higher power. Just let him do his thing. So I just want to thank you, and I also want to apologize because I was the one who did not take the star one. I thought automatically it didn't. It went off on its own. So I will make sure when I'm finished sharing, I will take off the star. I'll put the star one again. Thank you for everyone for being here. I appreciate it. But, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Marilyn Kay, and our so with you. Okay, so we're on page 163, paragraph 3. And I'll take some more names and just reminding everybody, although we value your experience, we appreciate that you limit your share to 3 every third day. So who would like to share on this paragraph this morning?
Rowena K.
Marilyn T.
Rowena. Okay.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T. Got some more names here. Who else?
Reva G.
Did I hear Reva G? Okay.
That's right. Reva G from Brooklyn.
Gotcha, Reva G from Brooklyn. Okay. And who else? I can take 3 more people.
Marla from Iowa.
Marla, what's the first initial of your last name, please?
S, like sun.
Got it, Marla. Thank you. And then I'll take 2 more. Who else would like to
say? Kathy Z.
Was that Kathy Z as in zebra?
Yes, ma'am.
Gotcha. All right.
Thank you.
One more. Come on in. Who else? Water's warm. Jump on in. Okay. Well, we'll just see who else wants to pop in after Kathy Z. So, Rowena.
Shannon.
Shannon? Okay. Shannon, what's the first initial or last name, please? Shannon. Okay. Well, we'll get you. All right. So, Rowena. Rowena K., you're followed by Marilyn T. Good morning, Rowena K.
Good morning. Hi, my name is Rowena K. In the United Kingdom. So good to hear that reading. I've never seen the phrase stream of misery before, and it just hit me in the head like a ton of bricks, because I've woken up today feeling like I'm in that stream of misery and that I'm drowning in it. And, you know, I think that's how I wake up a lot. Because I wake up an untreated overeater every morning. But I've been working step 10s quite religiously, and which is actually quite new for me because it's part of the reason I relapsed quite recently. So now I'm doing my step 10s, you know, like my hair's on fire. And I've become aware of that stream of misery, which is all about my defects. I just never knew that I woke up in self-pity, paranoia, low self-esteem, and just sheer self-obsession, which is what keeps me in that stream of misery. And the self-obsession, you know, I'm so self-obsessed that I can't actually survive. I can't even focus on getting things right because I'm just thinking about myself all the time. But of course, the antidote to that for me, I'm realizing, is step 10s, which are like a life preserver that's being thrown to me when I'm swimming in that stream of misery. And I feel like I'm still early days in terms of, you know, how often I spend in that stream of misery. But, you know, I definitely feel like I'm learning that so much. In fact, all of my step 10s and my resentments are just about me and my spiritual malady. The resentment I woke up this morning was towards my manager about my shift pattern. I've known about my shift pattern for weeks. I've even told her about it. But for some reason, I chose that as the target of my spiritual, you know, to allow me to manifest that spiritual malady today. And that was it. It could have been anything, you know, and the reality is I just need to speak to her about it. And I've catastrophized it though. So I think that's why I was just so struck by the phrase, you know, I turned on the meeting and that was what I heard the first share talking about. And I just loved what she said about what lengths am I willing to go to get out of that stream of misery and stay out of it? And that just kind of focused me on the solution and kind of crystallized my thoughts, really. So Thank you so much for hearing me and letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Rowena K. And Marilyn T., you're up, followed by Reva G. Good morning there, Marilyn T.
Thank you, my dear Sherry KB. This is Marilyn T., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Northern California. So in looking at this paragraph, what I really see for me, came out for me, was that the doctor asked him, inquired in the previous paragraph, to tell him, tell the guy what his program was, which I'm assuming is Bill W., but I will not assume too much. So the friend proceeded to tell him about his program of helping other people and about a spiritual program. And the doctor agreed that he would test some people. And then that was so successful, evidently, that arrangements were made with a psychiatrist, in a large public hospital where there was a lot of misery. And, you know, there's just so much misery in the world, period. What I would love in my fantasy is to see everyone do a 12-step program. I think that there would be far less everything bad in the world. A spiritual program has helped me through some of the worst times of my life, my son passing, getting off of food permanently after, 65 years of my life being a compulsive overeater. And I am a little thick. It takes me a while to get it. It took me going through a Vision for You with my sponsor twice for me to get it, for me to have that spiritual awakening, that spiritual experience that really transformed me. And I managed to actually get through my son's death abstinent because of working with a fantastic sponsor. And what she told me was, you've got to carry this message. You've got to always be in this book. You've got to always be having sponsees. You know, your disease never takes a vacation. You need to be in this book. Helping others is the only way you're going to survive. And, you know, it is so true. It is so true. And, you know, as more gets revealed, you find you might need another program. You might need to go to see a nutritionist, et cetera, et cetera. But this is the basis of my transformation, is working the steps through the big book of AA with a qualified sponsor who has already worked the big book, who had a sponsor. And this is how I became transformed neutrality-wise and emotional sobriety, which is number one if you're going to live in this day and age happily. So anyway, I thank you all. I'm so glad to be on the meeting, and God bless you all. Thanks. Thanks, Sherry. Bye-bye. I pass.
Thank you, Marilyn T. And Reva G., you're up, followed by Marla S. Good morning, Reva G. from Brooklyn.
This is Reva G. from Brooklyn. What this passage brought to mind is all the service that we are committed to, that we are doing the work for. And it brings me to that sentence on page 77. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves. It says, at this moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. So some of the people about us, about me, are not always program people, and I have had occasions where I made myself of service to people who were resentful to other people in their lives, and I offered to write a resentment out with them, and they saw what they had to correct in their own attitudes, and it literally changed the direction of their lives. And I reminded myself, how could I, Reva from Brooklyn, possibly do that? I can't do that. I am powerless. I did not have the power to help myself, much less anybody else. But when I am really sincerely trying to be of service to the people around me, somehow I see that that is God's purpose for me and that that's where I belong. So thank you for letting me share.
Dear Reva G., Marla S., you're up, followed by Kathy Z. Good morning, Marla S.
Good morning. I'm so glad I made it in time to get to this meeting today. I'm Marla S. I am a grateful, recovered compulsive eater in Iowa. And this phrase, the stream of misery, is so important when we're sharing with others because it helps people that are still struggling identify in with our disease. I spent a lot of years, like many of you, trying to recover on my own will and trying to convince myself that I just needed to find the right way to eat like normal people. So part of the stream of misery for me, I was 284 pounds at 5'1", and I was at morbid obesity for many years. But more than the weight, which I've now maintained that loss, thank you God, of 120 some pounds for 7.5 years, that's a miracle. And the stream of misery, by working these steps, it's amazing because the misery goes away. It's so amazing to me now that, you know, over these years, I never had the power on my own to make my food thoughts disappear. I never had the power to make my problem with weight disappear, no matter how obsessed I was with it. And the miracle of working the steps is that it is gone today. I am neutral. I am free. And weight and food are like maybe 99% of my life, never there at all, never even issues on my radar. That's why I think for me, it has become so incredibly important that we are working with others as much as possible in this program to carry the message. Because half the time, it's weird, you know, when you get to a point of recovery for so many years where that isn't your issue anymore as far as the food and weight, you know, obviously everything else is an issue, life, family members, you know, jobs. But when food and weight are no longer the biggest issue of my life, sometimes it's hard to remember where I even used to be. And you don't want to get cocky or complacent because it's so neutral, thank you God, that I have to be working with other people as much as possible, going in through the book with them and taking them through the step work, because I need to be reminded at any time where I could go back. And when you're feeling pretty good and life is good and the food and weight and obsession are lifted, you have to be reminded. And so that is my work when I help other people, sponsoring them. I'm constantly back in the book, hearing what I need to hear, reminding them of who I was. Over and over, I hear, you're not cured, Marla. You are just recovered on a daily basis, and it helps me stay well. Because you can feel so good sometimes in recovery that it's easy to forget your previous misery. And I need to be reminded of that by working with people who are in it. My time? I thank you all. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Marla. Kathy Z, you're up, followed by Shannon, and we'll get the first initial of her last name. Good morning, Kathy Z.
Good morning, Sherry. This is Kathy Z from Duval, Washington. I am an abstinent recovering food addict and feeling very, very blessed this morning by working this program, by the Big Book, by my fellows in Vision, my relationship with my higher power, and the will that he's giving me to keep going and to keep seeking and to keep learning. Misery definitely brought me here. and I'm just about ready to embark on my fourth and fifth steps with my sponsor. And what I'm gleaning from this process is that my misery caused so much misery in other people's lives as well. And so my misery, also my self-pity, which is being revealed more and more, was causing misery in other people's lives. And I'm so excited to be doing this 12-step program because it means that I am gaining the tools to work out of this misery for me and for others. and turning that misery into encouragement and support and love. And I'm just so blessed and thankful for this direction that God is taking me. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
PKZ, Shannon, you're up next, and we might have a room for someone else. Shannon, what's the first initial of your last name, please? Shannon? Hello, Shannon? Okay, I guess we'll move on from Shannon. Would somebody else like to share this morning? We have
Pam M.
Pam M. And somebody else. We have room for a few others. Okay. Who else would like to share this morning?
Luella R.
Luella R. Okay.
Luella.
Luella?
Yeah, R-E-L-L-A.
Oh, Luella. R-E-L-L-A. Okay, Luella. And anyone else?
Sophia M.
Christina A.
Sophia M.
Natalie V.
Oh, Sophia M. Okay, and Natalie B. We'll see what we can do here, all right, ladies? Thank you so much. Okay, so Pam M., you're up, followed by Ruella.
Oh, thank you so much. Blessed morning again. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. So grateful to be here this morning and to be able to share on the line with my sisters and brothers and fellowship. I love also that line about the stream of misery. You know, I didn't know either that I was in a stream of misery and that I wasn't aware that I was depressed and I was wallowing in self-pity, dishonesty, and fear. And, you know, as I was working through the steps, I was getting more and more clear. First I got sober, and then I could receive the information. And, you know, when I say sober, I mean food sober. I got off what was making me feel drunk. And people ask me now, you know, I mean, you wouldn't know. I was almost 300 pounds, and I'm a very short lady. It's not good for me to be that heavy. And, you know, I can't even recognize myself from my former self. And people ask me all the time, you know, you wake up every morning in such a good mood. How do you do that? And I do it because I live in 10, 11, and 12, and we have the directions there in 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. And so what that direction means is that when I wake up in the morning, before my feet hit the bed, that's my job. To seek conscious contact with God and to set up my day so that I can live a conscious life and fully show up as a recovered woman living in 10, 11, and 12. So I made that choice. Sorry for my dog barking in the background. I made that choice that when I wake up, I will be grateful. I will be grateful no matter what is going on. Thank you for one more day to live. Thank you for one more day to enjoy my life. Thank you for one more day to show the people that I love them. And, you know, thank you for one more day of recovery. So, you know, and then from there, I do my morning business, and then I go and I sit down and I do formal prayer and meditation. But, you know, I'm telling this for anybody that is new to the program who's still suffering with this disease, is that you can start to make those types of choices. And this program of recovery will show you how you can do that. And, you know, I used to make those firm convictions all the time, like, oh, I'm going to wake up and be grateful. But it didn't work for me until I started working this program and taking these steps of action. And now when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And it's a miracle. And I have that support. So I want to encourage everyone that's listening on the line to start making these steps, pick up the phone, and get a hold of us. And I just want to thank everyone for listening to me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruella. Thank you, Pam M. And Ruella, what's the first initial of your last name, please? Ruella?
Hi, it's Ruella R.
R. Thank you, Ruella.
Thank you. So I apologize. I was not on for the reading, but I just thought I'd claim my seat. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you all for your beautiful, inspiring shares. What a way to start the day. And I'm looking out at the sunshine and feeling grateful. And I very much resonate with the previous sharer that I've learned that I can make choices. That is one of the gifts of the program. So my day starts with intention. I was raised observant, as an observant Jew, and those teachings were always there. But I don't think until I began to incorporate God into my life in a very real way by surrendering my my compulsion, my inability to stop eating compulsively, and asking him to be active on a day-to-day, needing him, turning to him with a desperation, and that I became more God aware. So with that, my day takes on a whole different perspective. And I just wanted to share a miracle that happened 2 days ago. I have a very difficult client that I'm working with, and the child was acting out in an aggressive way. And I had to actually call the parent to take the child out, you know, to take the child. And that would have caused me so much shame. And I would feel like a failure, like I had failed as a teacher. You know, I'm a special ed teacher in so many ways. And some of those feelings were there, but as if I was like looking at them, I wasn't so immersed in the feeling. I was able to say, okay, this is not working. I don't know. This child may need more help than I can give him. And I was able to reach out for help and call the parent and say, we'll have to talk about this because, you know, so-and-so is not cooperating at all and being extremely aggressive, physically aggressive, and I can't continue this way. And then after the parent left, I was thinking to myself, okay, now I want to eat. Now I'd like to eat over that because this is very painful for me and very hurtful. And I'm not feeling like I'm on top of my game and I'm feeling like I failed. And I was just able to kind of smile and say, no, I don't have to. And I was able to talk back to that impulse. And that is very much part of me practicing this program and incorporating God and being able to surrender and being able to ask for help and realizing that I can't do it alone. That self-sufficiency that's always been like, I've got to do this. And it's such a relief to be able to say, God, help me, and I can't do this alone. So thank you all for listening, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Ruella. And Sophia N., you're up, and you've got about 2 minutes, and I don't think we'll have time for you, Natalie B., but we'll see what happens. Sophia, go ahead, please, for 2 minutes. Thank you. Sophia N.
Hi there. My name's Sophia N. I'm in England, and this is my third time in sharing, so quite nervous, but I really wanted to thank everybody who shared already this morning. It's afternoon here in England, but just the words, the stream of misery, really jumped out at me. Interesting, the person who just shared, my son has got challenging behaviour and learning difficulties and just mild learning difficulties. But when he was a teenager, I just ate through every crisis that I've been through. I've eaten through. Unfortunately, my son got into heavy drugs, and I just couldn't handle it. And unfortunately, he was using his substances, and I was using mine. I was using them in a way that any alcoholic or drug addict does. I was closing the curtains with all my binge food and just hiding away from life because I couldn't handle it. Unfortunately, it took me into hospital. I got really bad gallstones and got two infections in my gallbladder while I was waiting for it to be
taken out, and I was in hospital for a week each time, and very, very ill. And that was all because of the way I've been eating and told not to eat any fatty, high-fat, high-sugar foods, and that being told to do that seemed impossible. How could I do that? I'm a compulsive overeater. And then when I had my gallbladder removed, it was actually turned into major surgery because of such a mess inside. And all of 2018, I was recovering from that with different bouts in hospital. And I did get abstinent after coming out of hospital and Hi. Not being able to stop. Okay, thank you. So basically, the stream of misery, just wanted to say I'm free of that right now, and I'm so grateful. Thanks ever so much.
And thank you, Sophia. And well, that's all the time we have for our meeting this morning. What a great meeting. Awesome meeting. Thank you so much, everybody. And thank you for your shares, and thank you for Team Friday. And so now we're going to have Penny L.C. read A Vision for You from page 164. And starting with our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Penny L.C., go ahead, please.
Thank you, Sherry. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, Penny Elsie.